Hi, it's Drew. Thank you so much for tuning in. And I want to introduce you to a guy that I've known for a long time, well over 10 years. And there's a pretty good chance you know him already. He is very popular here in Tulare County and right here on KJUG. But he started a project 10 years ago called Meet Me Halfway. And he walked halfway across the country to bring awareness of kids that were aging out of the foster system and were going homeless. And he has basically made it his life work to bring awareness to this. And Jimmy Wayne is his name. And Jimmy, man, it's so nice to talk with you. And looking at your social media, it looks like you're bringing some positivity by showing some very pretty pictures.
I didn't go all those places. I have been to a lot of places. I take a lot of photos and I do shoot a lot of videos. But some of those photos, most of them have been borrowed. And the reason why, Drew, is because there's just so much negativity on social media. And you can be a part of it or, you know, just decide not to be a part of it and put something out that might bring a smile to somebody and make them feel good and give them a little bit of hope. Gosh, it broke my heart last night. I got a little text message from this mom from a girl's Twitter account. And her last tweet was, "I wish I could be my old self again." Then the next day they pronounced that she had committed suicide. And I was like, she was just a tweet away from me. I could say something mean or I could say something nice. And what if we just say something nice that would change that person's mind? I don't know how to put it in words. It's just the importance of just saying something nice. And because you never know when that person is a tweet away, just a tweet away on the other end of that phone, 1,000 miles away, who's going through it, could read something that you've written and it just changes their mind. Now, this little girl, I think she was probably in her 20s. You know, now her mom's going to have to live with that.
Man.
Her daughter did that. You never know what you say is going to affect somebody either positively or negatively. And, man, you just put a huge emphasis on just be nice. Just be kind to people.
Just yesterday, I was reading a story. Somebody posted it. My grandma maybe or something like that. But told a story about a little boy that it was raining and he was trying to convince his pastor father to go out and hand out flyers and dad didn't want to, but the kid went out and the very last one that he passed out, he was banging on the woman's door and ringing the doorbell and banging on the door. And she finally opened the door. He gave her the paper and said, you know, God loves you. And you know, that's all you need to know. He left and she showed up Sunday and said that she was going to commit suicide until this little boy banged on her door.
Wow.
And you know, you hear stories like that, and you automatically, you immediately start to tear up, and you're like, man, that is exactly what you were just saying. You never know, you know, the time or the place where it's going to be needed.
That's exactly right. And you just, you know, it's just, it can be one word or one sentence of encouragement or a photo that can help them escape reality, escape their depression for a minute and change their life forever.
You know, and this kind of ties into your story, really, you know, from the early days when you were mowing the lawns and all of a sudden you were taken in by an older couple and that changed your life there, right?
Yes, absolutely. You know, I understand that whole depression, sickness, illness, disease, if you will. I mean, I experienced a lot of it when I was a kid. My mom was depressed and bipolar and ended up going to prison. She did. She ended up going to prison twice, maximum security prison. And it wasn't because of her bipolar disorder, but her bipolar disorder caused her to make some decisions that inevitably made her ended up in prison. I get the whole being depressed and they say, well, reach out and call this number if you're depressed. Let me tell you, when you're depressed, you don't feel like reaching out and calling. That's why it's important for us to reach out and put out kind words. Because a depressed person is depressed for a reason. They're not going to, you know, they're not going to reach up and chances are they're not going to reach up and ask you for help. So it wears me out when I hear that, you know, just call here or reach out and tell somebody. It's like, folks, you're so clueless about being depressed. I've been depressed. grew up in the system, foster care system. A lot of these kids, unfortunately, suffer with post-traumatic stress disorder. One out of four suffer with post-traumatic stress, 50% higher than a combat war veteran.
When you were growing up, is post-traumatic stress syndrome, was that something they talked about? I mean, this seems to me like this has just come to surface not long ago.
Exactly. They called us mean or crazy. There's nothing you can do with that kid. Put puppets on their hands and talk to us with puppets, trying to get us to talk back to them. They treated us crazy. And it's because of the trauma. You know, it's moving from home to home, being homeless. So, yes, and depression can come from any scenario, not just being homeless or being a foster kid. But I certainly know what it's like also to be helped. Like you said, that family in their 70s reached out and gave me a home, gave me a place to live, took me off the street. And they were firm, fair, and consistent, just wonderful, strong people. And I stayed with that family 6 years. And they are the reason why I am where I am today. I know for a fact I wouldn't be here in this spot had it not been for them. I don't know where I would be, but I wouldn't be here because that gave me a chance to go back to school, go to college, pursue and catch my dream of writing music and playing music and being on the radio, your radio station.
Right.
I mean, it started with those people who reached out and helped me. So they helped me when I had nothing to give them. They met me right where I was in my life, broke, homeless, dirty, had a bag of dirty clothes, and they took me into their home and said, you can wash your clothes in our washing machine, and here's a bed. All you have to do is go to church, cut your hair, and don't give us no crap, or you're out of here. And that was it.
They weren't in the system. This was just a couple that pulled you in.
Yep, and I had no idea who they were. I was just cutting their grass. I had become their lawn boy for that summer of 1989. They just watched me and kept an eye on me and watched how I worked. And they liked me and trusted me enough to move into their home. And her husband, Russell, was a World War II veteran. He'd been wounded in Germany, shot in the back. And so he was a tough guy. He kept his eye on me all the time. Come to find out, they never talked about helping people ever. They never shared with me anything about helping people. But after they passed, I learned that they had been taken in and helping kids their entire adult life.
Wow.
Yep. They'd go to orphanages. They'd send money to orphanages all over America. That's just what they did. They helped kids. That's why I just try to encourage people, you know, especially now. I mean, I've spent the last 10 years, 11 years of my career not trying to be a superstar, but trying to shine the light on foster care and foster kids. It's because it's just so important. I mean, they say, man, wait till you're a mega superstar and then you can do the most good. And I'm like, I can't wait till then. That may never happen. That only happens for a few people, you know. No matter how good you can sing or how good you can play, it just does not happen for everyone. I have to do something now. So I know the importance of helping them, but I'm telling you, this year, it is extremely important this year. It's important up to this year, but this year and going into 2021, it is so important that we get involved. You don't have to think about changing the world. Think about changing one kid's life. Because right now, the organizations out there that are trying to help these kids are so low on funds because everybody's been out of work and everybody's struggling. So it all trickles down. These people are struggling so hard to help these kids. So if you have anything extra, if you think this Christmas I'm going to forfeit one gift and I'm going to give that gift to a kid, to a family that needs groceries for that week, do it. Because this is the year to do that.
We're talking this morning with country singer and inspirational speaker Jimmy Wayne. And we've been talking for a while now, Jimmy. And there's this reoccurring theme that it wasn't intended to be like this, but it's really how it has to be for people to get help. And being there and doing something, we talked about the poor girl that just one tweet could have changed her life. Or, you know, the boy that walks up to the house and knocks on the door and changes the outlook of one woman. Or the couple that took you in just by chance. Doing something really does make a huge difference. And in 2010, you set out on a journey to walk across the country, basically. You left Nashville. You ended up in Phoenix. Project Meet Me Halfway was created right then. Your whole philosophy was just being that person that is there to help.
Yep, just meet them halfway. I understand you can't do it all. You can't meet them. You can't do all the work for them. That's why I tell these kids, you have to at least meet us halfway. That's the starting point. Because I understand from experience that if you do it all, appreciate it as much as they do if they have to work a little bit for it. That's why I named it Meet Me Halfway. I'm not going to do it all for you, pal. I'll help you. And that's what the family did for me. But there are families out there that really do need somebody to go extra mile for them. These kids being at home and out of school and the abuse, I can't even fathom. I can't even comprehend the amount. It has to have gone up 300%. Can you imagine being abused at home and then all of a sudden, you know, your only escape was going to school, and now you can't go to school, and now you are at home and you're getting abused all the time? Man, it's got to be brutal. Those little girls, those little boys, it's unbelievable.
When you took off on the walk, gosh, it's wild to say that it's almost 11 years ago now. Life has really changed for you because you had the pre-walk Jimmy Wayne and the post-walk Jimmy Wayne, where number ones and you were, you know, superstardom in country music. And then you became a superhero because of all of the things that you have done to bring awareness to just what we're talking about right now.
Well, you know, I realized and learned that when you do things for yourself, chances are the outcome is not as big and great and fun. But when you're doing things for other people, the outcome is just enormous. It's just so much greatness. And you feel so good when you do things for other people. Granted, I love being on stage. I love performing. I love to hear a crowd sing my songs. And in reality, in the real world, we know that when you leave that venue, you get on a bus and you drive away, the next weekend, they're going to go and do that for the next artist. What's that lifetime impact that you're going to have on somebody that's not going to go away a weekend later? It's getting out and really getting involved and helping and really helping these vulnerable, valuable, innocent, abused and neglected children that has an impact. So again, I love performing. I still do my keynote speaking and performing. But at that point in my career, in my life, I had to use that opportunity with that 3-week number one to use that to shine a light on what was really important to me. And it was just helping those kids and the kids that I was growing up in the foster care system. I just felt led to do it, and it was the right move. I wouldn't take a step of it back. Since that walk have just been amazing. I mean, before that walk, I was on a record label, you know, that had sold, and I was on another record label, kept me on a shelf for a while. Then I went to another record label. Things were just not clicking. Although I could sing, I could write, I could play, I did everything I was supposed to do. I didn't burn bridges. Anything they asked me to do, they asked me to go to a tanning bed twice a day, and I did it. Wow. I'm like, I went to a tanning bed twice a day because the record label president said I had to. Just stuff like that. Just, you have to cut your hair a certain way. So I did it. Not because I really wanted to, but I did everything they asked me to do. But we still, you know, it was still always pushing a square rock uphill. But after that walk, and when I really started doing what I'm doing today, I immediately got a book deal. Not that I did it for this reason. These are things that simply just fell in my lap. I didn't go after them looking for them. I got a movie deal. I mean, you know how that was? It was the craziest thing in the world. I went on LinkedIn and I just said, hey, to this producer in LA, I said, hey, I got a book. You might be interested in reading it, make a movie out of it. What's the chances of that? I mean, come on.
It's interesting that you know, you talk about, you know, you're focused on one career path, And all of a sudden, you're like, wow, this career path isn't working. It's like you said, pushing a square rock up a hill. And then all of a sudden, when the one that you're meant to do opens up, then boom, things just start flowing. And you know that you're in the right place then.
Exactly. And you're scared to make that jump because it's just scary to go out there. And, you know, and that can relate to a lot of people in the world right now is scared when there's change. You know, you're set, you got a good job, you're doing what you love to do, and all of a sudden there's change with this COVID thing. Everybody's looking, scrambling, and trying to figure out what the next move is. I've been there, lost my record deal in the middle of the walk across America, and just came back to Nashville wondering, what am I going to do? Because I have put my entire life into this. I've done everything I was supposed to do, fulfilled every commitment. I didn't walk away from my career. I walked during a time when there was nothing on the calendar as far as touring. So I did everything right. And still, the bottom just was pulled out from under me. So now what do I do? And I just started praying. I was like, all right, tell me what I need to do. And it was like this strong voice said, just start writing your story down. Drew, I had no intention at all of getting a book deal or anything. I thought it was kind of like, okay, I'm going to write my story down because that's going to help me release some of this, again, depression or this being aggravated and being scared, you know, what am I going to do scared? So I started writing my story. For 4.5 months, I wrote every day my story down. And the week of, not the month of, the week I finished writing every single note, every memory I had, everything I could possibly think, every taste, touch, smell, hear, I mean, sound, everything. That week, I got a call from a lady in the music business that asked me if I'd do a speaking engagement for her. She said, it's going to be in a barn and you're not going to get paid. And the last thing I wanted to do was do another free event in a barn in the summertime for free for someone in the music business. Cause I felt like, gosh, these people just use you up. And I've lost everything I have. I lost my job. I lost career. I've lost everything. The last thing I want to do is another free event
for those people,
for those people who turned their back on me.
Right.
Well, I thought about it. Long story short, I went ahead and did it. Check this out. I show up at this event not knowing who the clients were, who the event, what the event was about or anything. I just figured I'd do this for this lady because she was good to me. She was one of the good ones. She was good to me in the music business, and she wrote some really good stories about me. She wrote for Billboard magazine. And so I thought, I'll do it for her. And so I did this event. After I spoke for 20 minutes, shared 3 songs, the crowd stood up, cheered. And a lady from the crowd walked up and handed me a card, and she said, we'd like to publish your story. Huh. I said, who are you? She said, this is the Thomas Nelson HarperCollins annual sales event. We have it every year. It was from the top down of the book publishing company. I was auditioning in front of them and didn't even know it.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep, and that's where I got the next day. I was on the phone with them. 4 days later, I had a contract, was off to the races. 15 months later, the book sold 200,000 copies, hard copies. New York Times list 3 times. That's what I'm talking about.
It's great that it happened to you, but it's never been about you. You still are front and center with the project Meet Me Halfway. And and you were in front of, you know, on Capitol Hill. You've been to Congress, you've been to state capitals, you've pushed for these kids, and it's given you a platform.
Yep, and I can use this platform and these things that are happening, such as a book, such as, you know, anything that evolves from that. I use it to raise awareness for the cause. Like, I'm appreciative for the book, but I want you to read the book because I want you to learn about what these kids are going through, because my story is their story, and their stories are much worse than mine. But unfortunately, they don't have the platform I have. They'll Some of them, unfortunately, will never get that platform. They need help now. So that's what I do, man. Every day I get up and I think, what am I doing that's going to help these kids? That's what I think about every day.
And I know that you have been to Tulare County. You've been here and you've spoke here to organizations because, you know, the homeless, the child homeless rate here in the state is just unbelievable to think that there are kids that are roaming the streets because they don't have a family or they can't get into the system. But you've been here and you've actually talked with some of those kids.
Absolutely. Beth Wilshire, she's listening. Kurt Williams, he's listening. These folks, I'm telling you, they are true child advocates right there in your county. True. They know the statistics. They are passionate about helping kids, and that's exactly what they're doing every day. I mean, they truly are, because I've met a lot of people in the business. I say it business because I want to say music business. I've met a lot of people in the business and in helping these kids. And I can tell you, they are the real deal. They go out and they help. And it's not like you can help them and then retire, you know, after you help one. There's a new kid born every day. So there's a new set of issues, a new set of homelessness, a new set of girls that need help. They need help. You know, they reach a certain age in their life where they need women to step in and help them. Because if you don't step in and help them, some guy that's going to use them up is going to. Some gang member is going to recruit that guy. You know, some older man is going to take care of that girl. He's going to promise her the world and then take it from her, because that's what he did to my sister.
Man.
And so I'm speaking from experience. So it's not like I'm telling you, you've got to go out there and do that. I'm just saying, I hope you do. I hope if you're looking for something to get involved in, you know, what can you do right now? Right now is the time this year, boy, to really get involved in. Like I said, identify one kid and help that one kid. A lot of people get scared because they're like, I can't make a difference. And I'm like, you're not going to make a difference thinking about trying to change the world right now. All of us together can change the world, but you just need to find one kid and focus on that kid and help that kid.
And what are the,
if we all do that, you will change it.
What are the best ways to get involved in a situation like that? I mean, because you can't just walk through Walmart and be like, I think that kid's having problems.
he looks like a homeless kid. Well, in every county, there's a organization that serves children. And the best way, you know, there's so many people ask me that question all the time. How can I help? And I say, Google is the easiest way to find an organization. Google. Organization in my area that serves abused and neglected children. And they'll pop up, boom, and you'll be like, whoa. So then you call them. Hey, I'd like to, don't drop off a bag of old clothes.
Right.
I mean, drop off a new coat, new pair of gloves, new shoes, new socks. They're already broken down. The last thing you need to do is give them your old coat. Now, I'm not saying I wouldn't appreciate that, because I received an old coat, which I still have, by the way. And I was very thankful for it, because I didn't have a coat. But I'm just saying, if you can do it, give them a new coat. That helped them lift their self-esteem up. They need funds. I'm not saying you can go out and donate $1,000, but maybe 1,000 people can donate $1. That's the way you got to look at it. How can you recruit your church, for instance? Maybe every member donates $5. If that's a 1,000 member church, that's $5,000. You know how far that goes in these organizations? It goes a long way to serve these kids, to provide Thanksgiving meals for them, Christmas presents. So Google organizations in my community, in my area, that serves children, abused and neglected children, foster children, stuff like that. Tulare County, I mean, it's just, they're everywhere.
And one way that you can help is really one that your movie deal that you got, Paper Angels, which the inspiration came from the Angel Tree.
Exactly. Salvation Army Angel Tree. They serve children every year through the Angel Tree program. And speaking about that old coat that I received when I was a kid, I'm wearing that old coat in that movie.
Oh, no kidding.
I sure am, man. Because it was a man's coat when I received it when I was 14. So I decided to wear that coat in commemoration. There's so much going on, Drew. I look forward to sharing more with you when I'm allowed to talk more about the new stuff that's happening, which is just unbelievably exciting.
I can't wait for that, man.
I
encourage people to go follow Jimmy. Go to jimmywayne.com. You can follow along with the Project Meet Me Halfway and their social media. And, Jimmy, I wrote down some of your songs. And I'm going to read them here. And it's like a message in the titles of your songs. So you had Stay Gone, I Love You This Much, You Are, I Will, Do You Believe Me Now, and Sarah Smiles.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a kind of a hidden message just in the titles of some of the songs that you have, man. And it's been an honor to watch the second half of your life starting 11 years ago now. But I definitely appreciate talking to you, and you're an inspiration to so many, and we sure appreciate everything that you've done.
Well, you've always been there for me, and you've always been just a great supporter and helping me get my music out there, which ultimately introduces me to the public, which then allows them to find out who and what I'm about, which, you know, there have been listeners right there in your county who heard about my story, had no idea about foster care, et cetera, who ended up becoming like CASA volunteers, who ended up adopting kids just because they heard my song on your radio station and learned about me and my story. So every single person has a resource. It may not be money. It may be cutting hair. Take your resource and offer that resource maybe for one day, 1 hour, maybe 2 hours, to an organization where these girls and these boys, they don't have the money to go get a haircut. Swing by, cut their hair for free. Anything. Just anything. Hey, there's an organization out there. It's called iFoster. And I was speaking to an organization. It was like 1,700 people. Big room filled with people. And I was just pouring my heart out. And one guy came up. Well, many people came up afterwards and said, how can we help? And I said, these children need jobs. That's what they need. They need you to help them, but they really need an opportunity to work and help themselves, because that's job security. They don't have to depend on you. They want to work. They want to help themselves and know that you're not going to pull the rug out from under them. So one guy followed up, just one, from that whole entire 1,700 people event. But that one guy, I connected him with the organization iFoster, who goes out, they find foster children. They do. They find these foster children. They then find out what these foster children are, who, what, when, and where. They connect that foster kid with an employer. They have placed 250 foster children with employers in the state of California already. These kids are bagging groceries at your grocery store. You don't even know it. They're doing a great job. I mean, incredible job.
Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, yeah. 250 lives right there changed forever based on one person who made a connection with somebody else. So my point is, just by you doing this, you know, playing a song, you know, talking about it, the listeners talking about it, just get involved. You never, ever know how that's going to impact one person's life that's going to impact thousands, thousands.
Go to JimmyWayne.com. Follow him on social media. Very inspirational, and always good to talk to you, Jimmy. Thank you so much.
You too, brother. Thank you, Drew.